writing, wheels, and bucket brigades. On January 16, 1939, Matthew W. Sterling took an early morning walk through the wet, buggy forest of Veracruz State on the Gulf Coast side of Mexico's southern isthmus. 80 years before his walk, a villager traipsing through the same woods had stumbled across a buried, 6-foot-tall stone sculpture of a human head. Although the find was of obvious archaeological importance, the object was so big and heavy that in the intervening 8 decades, it had never been pulled out of the ground. Sterling, director of the Smithsonian Bureau of American Ethnology, had gone to Mexico the year before to see the head for himself. He found it, sunk to the eyebrows in mud, after an 8-hour horseback ride from the nearest town. The head was in the midst of about 50 large, artificial earthen mounds, the ruins, Sterling concluded with excitement, of a previously unknown Maya civic center. He had decided to assemble a research team and explore the area in more detail the next year, and persuaded the National Geographic Society to foot the bill. Returning to Veracruz, he and his team cleared the dirt around the great head, admiring its fine, naturalistic workmanship, so unlike the stiff, stylized sculpture common elsewhere in Mesoamerica. Nearby, they found a stela, its wide, flat face covered with bas-relief figures. Hoping to turn up others, Sterling was walking that January morning to the far end of the mounded area, where a workman had noticed a large, flat, partly submerged rock, a second stela. Accompanying him were 12 workers from the nearby hamlet of Tres Zapotes. They pried the stela from the ground with wooden poles, but it was blank. Disappointed, Sterling took the crew to get a third fallen stela. They scraped away the covering dirt and found that it, like the first, was covered with intricate images. Alas, the carvings were now too weathered to be deciphered. The frustrated Sterling asked the workers to expose the back of the slab by digging beneath it and levering up the stone with poles. Several of the men, he later recounted, were on their knees in the excavation, cleaning the mud from the stone with their hands, when one of them spoke up in Spanish, "Chief, here are numbers." Across the back of the stela were clumps of dots and bars, a notation familiar to Sterling from the Maya. The Maya used a dot to signify 1 and a horizontal bar to signify 5. The number 19 would thus be 3 bars and 4 dots. Sterling copied the dots and bars and hurried back to camp, where we settled down to decipher them. The inscription turned out to be a date, September 3rd, 32 BC. Sterling already knew that Tres Zapotes was anomalous. It was at least 150 miles west of any previously discovered Maya settlement. The date deepened the puzzle. If, as seemed likely, it recorded when the stela was put on display, this implied that Tres Zapotes had been a going concern in 32 BC, centuries before any other known Maya site. The date thus seemed to imply that the Maya had originated well to the west of what was regarded as their traditional homeland, and much earlier than had been thought. Sterling didn't believe it. Surely the Maya had not sprung up in Tres Zapotes and then moved en masse hundreds of miles to the east. But the alternative explanation, that Tres Zapotes was not a Maya community, seemed equally improbable. The Maya were universally described as the oldest civilization in Mesoamerica. Whoever had carved the stela had some knowledge of writing and mathematics. If they were not Maya, the implication was that someone else had launched the project of civilization in Mesoamerica.